Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Today is Sunday, April 3rd. The year is 2016. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall, and this segment of my show is known as Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Bootcamp. I have a special show for you today because April is Financial Literacy Month. My call-in number is always 1-714-242-5273. Call in and let's talk money, money, money. I didn't really promote the show soon enough, so I'm taking a second here to promote it. So, okay, I just want to say I get questions on a daily basis from people who want or need more information to get a grip on their finances and a grip on their money. If you don't get a firm grip on your money will get away from you, point blank, period. Some people feel they take in enough money on a monthly basis to cover their expenses, but still cannot save any money. Saving for old age and retirement, or saving to have your money work for you, is important. You must know exactly where your money is going in order to stop the leaks. You must also be committed to changing your behavior towards money, changing your attitude towards money. Money is a tool to get you the things you want and need. But if you place no value on money, you may find yourself wasting your money. If you waste your money now, you will have no money when an emergency happens. If you are a giver, believe me, the people you give your money to will not return the favor. As well, they may be wasting their money and wasting your money too. So today, I will discuss how to get a grip on your finances, how to determine your net worth, how to figure out where your money is going, and how to implement a savings plan so you will ultimately be walking down the road to financial freedom. The information for today's show comes to me from an organization known as Money Management International. They appear to be a nonprofit organization that operates out of Sugar Land, Texas. Do go online and take their quick 30-step test. It will no doubt lead you to financial fitness and financial freedom. Remember, my show is online, but you can call in every first Sunday at noon Eastern Time. My call-in number, again, is 1-714-242-5273. So let's get this show rocking here. I wanted to mention that there are a lot of free tools in relation to financial freedom. Your local bank probably has a website where they have tools and information related to getting a grip on your finances, getting a grip on your money. Okay, first of all, you must take action. That's step number one, according to Money Management International. Declare that you will have a change in your behavior towards your money. Now, you may not know what the change is going to be, but you got to say, I'm going to change. Now, I'll tell you a change I made, and I've mentioned it many times. First of all, I keep single dollars in my wallet so that I don't have to give out a 10 or a 20 every time I buy something that costs a dollar or $5. So I changed my behavior when it came to spending large bills a long time ago, and especially because sometimes when you spend a large bill, you don't get your change. So people start talking and running their mouths and then don't end up with their change. So that's step number one. Take action and be committed to making a change in relation to your money. Number two, assess your ability to handle finances in a matter in a manner that will lead to financial success, such as paying bills on time, saving 10% of one's income always, and planning for large purchases. I mean, unless you can afford to go out and buy a large purchase with cash as opposed to credit, try to plan for a large purchase. Understanding the difference between your needs and your wants is important as well. So just assess your attitude towards money and assess your ability to handle your finances in a manner that will lead you to financial success. Like I said, pay bills on time, save 10% of your money, plan for large purchases, and understand the difference between needs and wants. Number three is getting organized financially. What does this mean? It means clearing out financial clutter, knowing which receipts to keep for deductions, and what receipts to record for budget purposes, and which receipts or financial documents can be ultimately tossed. Now, we need certain receipts, such as if you own a home and you're paying taxes, you have to declare those expenses on your income taxes. So with certain receipts, if you have own a business, there are certain receipts that you need. But say just your grocery bill, you can record that on your monthly budget and then maybe toss out the receipt. It's up to you. Number four, you can appoint a family CFO, meaning a chief of financial officer, and or pay for an online payment service. Online payment services such as Quicken and even the ones from your regular bank, in my opinion, they work because then you don't have to worry about paying that one particular bill every month, especially if it's a consistent bill like your gas bill. If you know your gas bill is $68 a month, you can have it paid automatically on time through an online payment service or have the person that you've designated as your family chief financial officer have them have a list of the bills and pay those bills on time. Of course, they need money in order to pay the bills. Number five, obtain and review copies of your credit report. Okay, your credit report is important. I just saw a statistic that says that American consumers are $2 trillion in debt. American consumers have amassed $2 trillion in debt. And that American consumers have also said 30% of them usually have no cash on hand. And people talk about that some families live from paycheck to paycheck. Some individuals live from paycheck to paycheck. Some students have such high student debt bills that they live from paycheck to paycheck. So in addition to massive debts, the massive debts can leave an American family with no cash on hand. Okay, and so what you want to do to find out about your debt is to obtain and review copies of your credit report. Who do you owe? Who do you owe? Okay, and what are the credit bureaus reporting about you? To get a free copy of your credit report, go to www.annualcreditreport.com. That's www.annualcreditreport.com. Or call 877-322-8228. 877-322-8228. There are three major credit reporting bureaus. We know them as Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. Information in your report may vary based upon the credit reporting agency that you're receiving your credit report from. What's in Equifax may be different from what's in TransUnion. What's in TransUnion about you may be different from what is in Experian. And remember, your credit report also gives you a score. That score tells anyone who intends to enter into a credit agreement with you what type of risk you are. So if you have a very high credit reporting number, 800 or more, any company may want to extend credit to you. If you have a low credit report, 400, 500 or lower, companies may hesitate to give you credit. So I'll just put it out there like that. Now, after obtaining and reviewing your credit report, clear up any errors or any mistakes. Correct any and all errors in your credit report. Okay, number 7, I'm going to move on. Create an income worksheet. An income worksheet states the amount of income you take in monthly, where it comes from, and it gives you a realistic idea of the amount of money you have to work with, the amount of money you have to spend, the amount of money that you have on hand to pay your bills with. So this same company, Money Management International, they have an income worksheet form. And it's talking about your income from sources, various sources. It could be from a paycheck. It could be from other income, child support, rental income, or whatever. And then it also talks about the various deductions that will come out of your monthly income, the federal income tax, FICA, which is Social Security, FICA and retirement, medical insurance, life insurance, dental insurance, stock purchases, payroll deductions for savings, union dues, child support. Those are some of the deductions that may come out of a person's monthly income. So they're saying create a chart, know firsthand how much your money, how much money you're taking in and where the money is going, okay? The second chart that they have available is actually for step number 8, and that is to determine your net worth. Now, the formula for net worth is assets minus liabilities, what you actually own minus the things that you owe money for. So assets minus liabilities will give you your net worth. And this company, like I said, they also have what they call a net worth worksheet. Your net worth, your, amongst your assets would be cash on hand, money that's in your checking and savings account, real estate you own, a car that you own that you may not have a car note on, other personal property like jewelry, investments such as CDs in the bank, stocks and bonds, mutual funds, also retirement accounts. They are part of your assets, your IRAs, your pension funds, if you're vested, your 401Ks, things like that. Now, a liability, and a good liability, would be a mortgage. How much do you owe monthly on a mortgage? How much do you owe monthly on student loans? How much do you owe on credit cards? How much do you owe, O-W-E, on car loans? Do you owe state or federal taxes? Do you have other contractual obligations, so such as you're leasing a property to for a particular reason, or you owe tuition? At any rate, like I said, assets minus liabilities will give you your net worth. And that's just important bottom line in relation to who you are financially. And let me just take the time to say this. The people who save the most money and spend the least amount of money usually have a higher net worth. Now, what happens to that money in the long run, or after they retire, or if they pass away and leave behind assets, I don't know. But the people who spend the least amount of money and save the most amount of money usually have a very positive net worth. Okay. Something that you want to know as well, after you determine your net worth will actually tell you your debt load. How much do you owe? Okay. So you want to know that. How much money do you owe in general? Another thing about debt is you if you owe credit cards, and even with student loans, from what I can understand, you might be able to negotiate the interest rate. Because, I mean, if you owe somebody $500 in student loans and then you don't pay them for 10 years, you may discover that you now owe them $1,500. So that original $500 check that you received is now going to cost you $1,500. So you want to understand your debt load. Uh-oh, I better move a little faster here. No, I still have a few minutes left. I have at least 13 minutes left. When spending or getting into debt, please determine if what you are buying is a need or a want. I mean, if it's something that you need heat in your home and you need gas in your car, things like that, but maybe you don't need that $250 pair of sneakers for your one-year-old new baby. You know what I mean? And those kind of things may be good if they're received as a gift, but out of your household income, buying a pair of $250 sneakers every 3 months for a child can be a real big financial burden, and it may not be necessary. Why? Because it's not an asset, and it's not going to assist you in the long run. So, okay, which number was I on? Debt was number 10. Number 11, set smart financial goals. All right. Now, this company, they also offer you a financial goal worksheet. They're saying that SMART represents, the S represents specific, the M represents measurable, the A represents achievable, the R represents rewarding, and the T represents trackable, being trackable. So they're saying set up SMART financial goals and also have a financial goal worksheet. That's number 12. This worksheet has a space for short-term goals. You know, are you going to pay down your debt short-term? And what's your target date? How much are you going to pay? And how much will that leave you to save? Your midterm goals, which is establishing an emergency fund, so you would pay down your debt, then save up enough money to have an emergency fund, and then still have a little money to save, okay? And that's initial saving you did was for the emergency funds. Then long-term goals may be saving money for retirement. So you're going to pay down your debts, and the money that you're going to have left over, hopefully you'll be able to use them for a retirement fund. Okay. So number 14 is, like I said, 12 is financial goals worksheet, 13 is paying down your debt, number 14 is prepare yourself for emergencies. And emergencies do crop up no matter who you are or where you are. You can end up with a car repair as an emergency, a plumbing emergency, electrical repairs in your home that can end up being an emergency. But before you do an electrical repair, make sure it's not the fault of the electrical company. Number 15, let's deal with retirement funds. We're talking about saving for retirement. And there's all sorts of 401Ks, 457Ks, CDs that you can buy in a bank. I suggest putting your money in a CD because you can't readily get it out. Some people try to have a savings account, but then they go dip into it every other week. So they save $100, and then they take out $50 2 weeks later, and then the other $50 2 weeks later, and then they save $100 again. Well, can't get too far that way. But find out from a financial planner about all the different types of retirement funds, especially at your local bank or through your union, at your job, your pension company, like I said, 457Ks, 401Ks, IRAs, money market accounts, things like this. But also be aware that when these retirement funds mature, you may owe a penalty on them, or even if you go beyond age to owe a penalty for withdrawal, you will still owe taxes for withdrawal. And that may relate to whether or not that money was saved prior to, before you got your paycheck, or if the money was saved after you got your paycheck. Now, a type of savings before you get your paycheck can be a savings bond, okay? When you go cash in savings bonds, you'll have a certain amount of interest on them, but then you may also owe some type of income tax on them. So, but don't let that deter you from saving, the fact that you have to pay income tax on them. Keep your financial goals in front of you all the time. Let them be a reminder to you. Save money to attain your goals. In order to accomplish your goals have to relate to saving some kind of money. Know where your money is going on a daily basis so you can stop the leaks, and you can stop money from just disappearing. I mean, I heard people say that my money just disappears. I don't know what happened to my money. Well, that means you better get a closer grip on your money. And you may be able to use a record of daily expenditures. Now, this company, Money Management International, they also give you a chart or a worksheet for daily expenditures, okay? Included in daily expenditures, it might be the date and a fixed expenditure. It may be a variable expenditure, such as lunch when you go to work. Gasoline varies. Cleaning your clothes may be something that varies. Getting your hair done, your nails done, some weeks or months you can afford to do that. Maybe other weeks or months you can't afford to do that. Entertainment is something that varies. So at any rate, keep a record of your daily expenditures. And that should tell you where your money is going. I mean, is your money just jumping out of your pocket or jumping out of your bank account? I don't think so. The person who's handling it or mishandling the money is you. So, okay, now, fixed monthly expenses versus your monthly income. So, okay, when your monthly income comes in, you have fixed monthly income. It may be a mortgage if you own a home, or it may be rent if you're living somewhere. I mean, the people who live in the public housing, man, they got it good. Out of their monthly income, they may be paying one bill, rent, and they may not have to pay lights and gas. They may not have to pay property taxes. They may not have to pay for heating. Oh, my God, I never got a chance to live in public housing, but if you ask me, that's a good deal. So understand what your monthly income is in relation to your monthly fixed expenses, and those fixed expenses may relate to housing, mortgage or rent, real estate taxes, insurance, heating, and electricity. Your phone bill is monthly. Water or trash services if you own a home. Fixed expenses for transportation. You got to be able to get to work. So maybe you're paying a car note. Maybe you're paying for public transportation. Okay, fixed expenses for child care. And I mean, child care today is a high fixed expense. And I feel sorry for the people who have to pay it. Okay, that was number 19. Number 20 is periodic financial obligations. You got to be aware of those, things that you don't pay monthly or annually. You may pay for car registrations every 2 years. You may pay for a car inspection every year. You may pay for luxury taxes. In some states, they charge luxury taxes. Your driver's license may not need to be renewed but every 6 years. But so that's not a regular bill, but it's a periodic bill. Okay, number 21, document your spending and use a monthly chart to document your spending. Use a chart and use that chart to assist you with finding out where you can reduce your spending so that you can start saving. All right. identify ways to reduce spending. Instead of buying lunch every day at work, coffee in the morning, I mean, you want to kill a $20 bill every single day, $100 a week, $400 a month, $5,200 a year, all you have to do is buy coffee in the morning, a pack of cigarettes, and lunch, and pay for transportation on a daily basis as opposed to buying a monthly Metro card or something similar to that. Okay. Instead, what you may want to do is to create a menu and buy groceries. I mean, I met a guy in a supermarket. He was spending around $70. He was like a construction worker. He was buying his food for the week, and he had it all down pat, how much meat he was going to eat. He had onions, peppers, whatever he was going to drink. He says he spends around $75 a week on food, and that's what he eats off of. You know, that's his breakfast, lunch, and dinner, whatever was in that shopping cart. And I really admired that. And he didn't have a pound on him either. That was number 23, which is planning your meals in order to save money and stop eating out in the street. A lot of this food out in the street can make you sick anyway. Changing your spending habits will help you look out for your future, because after all, you're not just working for today, you're working for tomorrow as well. You're working for when you're 70 years old and can no longer work. You're working to get your kids through college. There are a lot of reasons why you're working, but if you don't try to be a little more frugal, you won't accomplish the goals you want. And speaking of being frugal, you can use coupons. You can use a service like an app like Retail Me Not. Man, I'm looking at Retail Me Not every day. You can look at Groupons and see what kind of coupon you can get to a local restaurant, even to buy your little lunch at work if you have to go to lunch on a Friday or something like that, the day you get paid. Have a Groupon for that particular restaurant or Retail Me Not coupon, and make sure you bring it up and have them, hey, don't have no shame in your game at the cash register. No. So, like I said, establish spending and saving goals and then stick to your goals. Prioritize your spending. Determine what you really need, what you really need to spend your money on, and even if you have to suffer, at least you have what you need. I love cable TV too, but if I had to choose between cable and internet right now, I think I'd end up with internet. If I could only afford $30 a month, I'd have to spend it on internet, not cable TV. Number 27, understand the cost of credit. Now, that relates to the vocabulary words that relate to credit. You know what I mean? Interest rates, things like that. So credit is not free. Understand the cost of credit. You can assemble a financial team if you want, a tax advisor, a credit advisor, a financial planner, and a lawyer. You can reward yourself for becoming financially stable, financially capable, financially literate. I mean, you can actually give yourself a reward. Maybe it'll be a slice of chocolate cake. But reward yourself for learning all you can about your finances, all right, and about to navigate in this world of money. The American economic system is capitalism, and that means what revolves around this world other than love and family and religion and politics is money, okay? Now, complete the 30 steps to financial literacy on the Money Management International website. That's what I would say. Go to that website, the Money Management International website, and complete the 30 steps to financial literacy. April is Financial Literacy Month. You are listening to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Laura Gall, and the name of my show is Laura Gall's Financial Fitness Boot Camp. Thank you so much for listening.